Hey, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We're looking at a joy in mercy from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Luke says, one day some Pharisees and experts in the law of Moses sat listening to Jesus teach. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. God had given Jesus the power to heal the sick, and some people came carrying a man on a mat because he could not walk. They tried to take him inside the house and put him in front of Jesus, but because of the crowd, they could not get him to Jesus. So they went up on the roof where they removed some tiles and let the mat down in the middle of the room. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the man, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the experts began arguing, "Jesus must think he is God. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why are you thinking this? Is it easier for me to tell this man that his sins are forgiven or to tell him to get up and walk? But now you will see that the Son of Man has the right to forgive sins here on earth." Jesus then said to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk home." At once the man stood up in front of everyone. He picked up his mat and went home, giving thanks to God. Everyone was amazed and praised God. What they saw surprised them, and they said, "We have seen a great miracle today." So, one of the things that always makes me crazy is how judgmental some folks are, and not necessarily the ones you might think. Of course, there are people in this world who are rude and act like bullies, but people who are rude and judgmental all the time don't make me nearly as crazy as folks who seem to wander through life not realizing that their ideas about the world are very much colored by some real misunderstandings. Now, don't get me wrong. Bullies are a scourge on the earth, and I pray for them that God would change their whole demeanor. But folks who are just judgmental and don't seem to know it are the kind of people who I know best and am most afraid of. And I realize I'm one of those people. Not because I set out to be judgmental, far from it, but at least in some sense, I know I misunderstand people. I've never walked in their shoes, so I'm prone to make decisions about who they are and what they believe and what matters to them with a fairly good-sized lack of knowledge. And I was reminded of that several times this past week. So I'm sharing. One was because of a story the Reverend Peter Rustico told at the Kiwanis luncheon I attended as a guest clergy person of Gerda and Chuck Cronklin. By the way, the food was amazing at Tony Baffa's. In any case, he was talking about the Middletown Interfaith Council's warming station. For those perhaps not aware, the warming station in Middletown at the old original Mulberry House takes in folks who are in November to early April who have nowhere to sleep that is safe and warm. Peter related the story from a few years back of an older couple dressed quite nicely who came one night looking for shelter from the cold. The older gentleman was dressed in a suit jacket and trousers, but related that they were without housing because of financial problems and losing their rental. Could they stay a few nights while they figured things out? It's really easy to think that everyone who is homeless is a drug addict or a drunk, but the reality is there are lots of people who are only one rent check away from homelessness. And an illness or a muffler falling off the car can tip the scales the wrong way. And then there was that show on TV about a killer 17-foot crocodile who was terrorizing a small village in southern Africa. People in the village thought it was cursed. The host of the show pointed out that while he didn't believe in curses, they did. And so after capturing the crocodile, he brought it back to the village so the local witch doctor could uncurse the crocodile. By listening and believing in the people, if not in the curse, he was able to let not only the croc go many, many miles upriver, but was also able to free the people of their fear and their need to kill the croc. In fact, the host believed the croc was hunting people because of the lack of fish, and that the lack of fish was because of the world's massive overfishing, including that of the villagers who were just trying to eat. It has depleted many rivers of their former large fish, a croc food staple. But he, aware of his own ability to misunderstand or simply not know what was happening, listened, cared for, and found a way to solve both the people's and the crocodile's needs. And isn't mercy, that's what it's at its root? By the way, our topic is joy and mercy. And mercy is all about caring enough about another situation that you choose to do something to help, even if that causes an expense to you of your time, your money, your energy, or even in some cases, your beliefs about how a situation should be resolved. Because if you believe sincerely and unbudgingly that the man who is paralyzed and is paralyzed was paralyzed because of his or his parents' sins, why would you help? Isn't this paralysis God's judgment on that man? And isn't that often how we think? Instead of how Jesus seems to think, that these calamities are not a curse from God, but rather an opportunity for God's people to show what God's love and power can do to make a difference in this world. Did you hear that? His paralysis was an opportunity. If you understand that and believe that, your way of looking at the misfortune of a whole lot of people could be turned upside down. Imagine Jesus doing such a thing, turning your understanding upside down. So paralysis becomes not a punishment, but rather a moment of mercy and grace, undeserved favor, not something you can earn, but a choice by God's people to do what Jesus would do in the same situation. Notice what Jesus does and says in the presence of those who thought that the man's sin deserved his lifelong paralysis. He said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and walk home." Mercy is the choice to make someone who is struggling and suffering whole. It is a decision to care because God first cared for you. Mercy is offering another way to get from the mess they are in to a less messy place. It's a gift, pure and simple, that changes the math. And then we are, like in last week's sermon, reminded to rejoice, to sing and shout, to be jubilant, to be like the paralyzed man's friends who must have been over the moon. Remember, it was not on the basis of the paralyzed man's faith that Jesus healed him, but rather in recognition of his friend's faith. Be that kind of friend. Even if you don't understand, even if you have doubts, even if your faith suggests a whole different understanding of what is happening, be like Jesus and extend mercy to all those you see who need it. And God, who sees what you do, will be with you and rejoicing too. Rejoice in mercy, for God is good all the time. Amen. So thanks so much for stopping by and sharing in this sermon today. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have questions or thoughts, you can email us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at otisvillepress.org. Thanks for stopping in.